Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 527. My name is John Morgan, and Cold Coffee is with me here on the first day of May in Las Vegas. And Cold Coffee, I'm not just going to give a Las Vegas weather update. I mean, normally I would just be saying it's sunshine, it's 78 degrees, 80 degrees, beautiful out there. I mean, all those things are true. Those things are true. But, bro, 3 weeks of school left for my kid, so it's about to be crazy summer around here, around the Morgan household, with the kid around here all day, not having the peace and quiet of working during the day. So that's one thing. But also, less than 2 weeks away from this man turning into a teenager. Bro, I'm going to have a teenage son living in this house. And I'm telling you, man, I'm not like – my wife, she takes it tough, right? She's always like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that was my baby. And look at him now. And I've always said, you know, like, hey, listen, we're not raising a baby. We're raising a man. You know what I mean? So we're trying to get to that point. But – boy, if it doesn't make you feel kind of old and just wonder, like, where the time went. I mean, you remember when he was, like, just first born and a little baby, you know?
I was going to say, you know, even from the side, I feel old because I saw all these pictures of your kid, and he was below my knee practically. You know, now I see him that he's almost as tall as your wife. I'm just like, what is going on? you certainly feel old when you see it all around you, but it's time flies when you're having fun, I guess, you know. But now's the fun. Now you can really start. You'll start be able to start having some fun with him.
Yeah.
Even 13, he's not old enough. But as he starts getting older, where even now, I can even tell when his sense of humor has changed. Like even when we go out and have like the little guys' nights out, it's one thing when it's just a kid that's just there hanging out and eating, and it doesn't really can't really partake and can't really inject their own sort of things because they're not really, I don't know, fully developed yet. Whereas now, like, they're becoming, like, legit, like, human beings, you know, can lead part of the conversation, can go in on his own jokes and his own humor and stuff. So it's kind of neat. So it's going to be fun and exciting. But, yeah, I mean, I remember those years for me. Boy, I was a hellion in those years. But yes. I wonder, maybe it'll be different because, I mean, he's an only child. I think it's different when kids that are competing and acting out when they have siblings. You know, you're always striving to kind of like one-up each other and do all these other things where, you know, maybe he won't act out that way because it's just him. I mean, he's the center of attention regardless, you know, whereas us that have a bunch of brothers and sisters, you know, like you're always sort of vying for attention or fighting, or back in my day, fighting for the fucking phone. Every kid now has a cell phone when they're like 4 years old, it seems. Like when I was a kid, I remember like we had to fight over the rotary phone, and me and my brother literally having physical fights over the phone because we wanted to have the phone to call a girl at the end of the night, you know? Like, it's crazy.
That is hilarious. That is something that I had not thought of. Like, things that like, used to be a certain way or whatever that, like, now kids can't relate. I'd never thought about it. Now, I was an only child, too, so I didn't really have those issues. But I'd see it with, like, other kids if I was hanging out at somebody's house or, you know, you'd see it depicted on TV or whatever like that. So I never had to live through that. But you're right. Like, back in the day, everybody didn't have their own phone line, right? There was one phone line in the house and only one kid could talk on it at a time. And then somebody would pick up one of the receivers in the other line and be listening in, right? Yep. And you'd be like, get off the phone, man. What are you doing? Get off that. Like,
get off the phone. Hang at the phone. Yeah. And snickering off to the side. Or if you're on the phone for too long, like, you got to get off the phone. I'm expecting a call. You know, you're like,
yes.
You know, I've
so
just been
true.
Chatting for an hour about nothing, but how dare you make me get off the phone? You know, like, that was your one line of existence, you know? So it's so ridiculous because, I mean, like, people don't even – That was huge. But I can still remember fighting with my brother over a phone because I couldn't remember if I was on it. He wouldn't get off of the phone or if it was me. It was all back and forth. But we were in high school at the same time. So, you know, at that age, like, everybody wanted to talk to their friends. And you wanted to talk to girls, at night. And you only had so many time before it got too late and you couldn't call somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you had to have that window. And yep. You fought over that window.
So crazy.
So,
and who,
yeah.
Man, I do remember like calling like a girl's house or whatever, and like having to ask the parents to like talk to the girl or whatever. You know what I mean? Like nobody has to do that anymore, right? You just, now they're all on online chats or text or message boards or whatever you want to call it.
I'm sure parents wish they could be the guardian of who reaches out to their kids like they used to. Yeah, they used to have that built in, goalposts. You can't get past here unless I answer the phone, unless I go, because it would just be a thing. Like, no, if it's an after an hour, like, no, don't answer the phone. Yep. I'll answer the phone. After 8 p.m., I answer the phone. I'll tell you if you get to talk or not.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Boy, even think about, that makes me think about, like, the old school, when you used to call, like, time and temperature, and there was, like, different party lines.
Yeah.
But the way that the old phone systems were so antiquated and they were so weird how they were just wired, and I'm sure a person that has better knowledge can explain why these would happen, but I remember when we used to call like time and temperature, there would be a point in time where you could hear other people that called the same number and you would just chat and you'd yell up like, yo, what's up? And they'd be like, hey! And then you try to scramble and call out your number and ask for a number. It's like, give me a call! What's your number? Hey, blah, blah, blah. And so we would literally call these, but then there were actual party lines you would call. But I remember like we would call time and temperature and try to like just chat with people and pick up chicks calling time and temperature, and it was just like, and like everybody was doing it, and it was just so bizarre and it was so ridiculous how it even worked. But who figured that out the first time and then spread the knowledge, like, bro, let me call time and temperature. And then, just like you could be talking to people all over, and there's chicks on there, man. Just call.
Can you imagine, like, how foreign that concept must seem to anybody, like, I don't know, under the age of 30 or 25 or something? Like,
yeah,
you called a number to get the time and the temperature. we had this number. We'd have to call it. That would give you the time and the temperature, bro. Like that. That's so bizarre. Like you didn't just pick up the device in your pocket that had it like on the cover of it right there.
Didn't you just have a watch?
Oh man. What's funny? I remember the old rotary phones. Like, I mean, being a young kid or whatever, but once you figured out that it was like the clicks that it made or whatever, so I thought it was cool to be able to dial by just like hitting the little switch on it basically to make the clicks instead of rotating or whatever. I thought I was like super agent right there, doing some top secret dialing and stuff. That's good Lord, man. I'm old. All right, well, listen, we got a lot of UFC to talk about. UFC is in Des Moines, but I guess before we get on to that, should we just spend the entire hour talking about the one gorilla versus 100 man debate? That's just how did that sweep the nation, by the way? It seems like everything on social media is about that. I saw that even brought it up at the UFC Media Day. But everything I see out there
is
brought
this up, and then
one
the UFC
gorilla.
Actually cut something from it about it as well. They released a video from it as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it started or how it came around, but I can't remember. I know I found out about it before Media Day.
Right.
Because I think it randomly came onto my timeline somewhere on Twitter. I blame Twitter because I want to say it was Twitter that I saw it.
I see it everywhere on Twitter. I feel like every show, everybody's talking about it. It's so bizarre. I've never
Everybody's jumping on that.
Maybe this is just a sign of like everybody needs some dumb shit to talk about in their life right now because of the way the world is, with the way everything's moving. It's like, give me some dumb debate to latch on to.
Well, there is stuff to that. A lot of people saying right now in Congress and other stuff, they're passing a bunch of laws that are making billionaires richer and richer, and they're doing it at the end of the night when people aren't paying attention. And when you think about who ultimately at the end of the day is putting and understands what the algorithm of Twitter and stuff is pushing out to people's
putting the tinfoil hat on, bro. You're going all the way in.
I put the tinfoil on. How many tinfoils versus a gorilla does it take to win? One tinfoil over a gorilla's head. I'm just saying, it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's funny where this stuff comes out when there's very important legislations and things happening that people don't want you to see. But yeah, it came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. But I will tell you, there is a billionaire gorilla right now that's beating up on all the men in this country.
One billionaire gorilla is taking out 350 million Americans right now.
You know, what's funny, because everybody's obviously, you know, you see the people, obviously one-on-one. Now here we are. Bro, let's go into it real quick.
All right, let's
one-on-one,
go into it.
One-on-one, a gorilla is going to tear you up.
Yep.
But through 100 people, through attrition, through people just being tired, and if they scale it out, they're going to tire the gorilla down. And, of course, yes, the 100 men would win. My thought, and what else I was thinking, I was like, okay, well, what's next? Why do we stop at a gorilla? I think a gorilla maybe even has a better chance than, say, like a lion, because I think the gorilla's strength, I think, is a little bit more vicious, you know, than what the lion would per se. But what about 100 men versus a hippo?
Ooh.
Hippo has tough skin. Hippo's got the jaws, but a hippo can sit in the water. If it forces the men to have to go into the water, the men have no chance in the water.
Yeah.
Could the men sit on the outside of the water and try to do whatever? Yes. But the thing is, you know, and even with a gorilla, 100 men can't possibly have enough foothold for all of them to act at the same time. You just can't get that close around, because you would just be grabbing onto dudes. And those initial 10 that are right around the gorilla, they're going to take the brunt of the damage, and some of them are going to die or whatever. Then, of course, then maybe the pile goes in. But I was trying to think, and I was trying to think of another animal that would do well, that maybe has benefits that the gorilla can't. A gorilla can't live and can't sit in the water and wait for people to go. They could try to climb to a tree, but then they would say that men would do something to bring the tree, or they would still wait it to go down. But granted, against 100 men, that as much strong as gorilla is, as much strong as a hippo or whatever, 100 men, I mean, it's hard to deny that the 100 men were going to win. Nobody's saying anything one-on-one. And it's funny. Everybody's like, oh, 100 men and AK-47. We're not talking about weapons here.
No, we're talking about hand-to-hand combat.
Strength of men, hand-to-hand. If it's anything less than like a few people, even if a few try to grab on to a – if you had a guy try to grab a leg, another guy try to grab a leg, some guy try to jump on his back, and some guy full-on face forward come at him at the front, he's going to fuck those four dudes up. The sheer strength of a gorilla. But they will get tired. They do get tired, and that's where the numbers come in. Even if you had like 8 guys at one time going, and he mauls the shit out of the first 8, it's not going to be as easy to maul the second group of 8, and then the third group of 8, and then the fourth group of 8, and then the fifth group of 8. You know, like, it's just going to be tougher and tougher, and at some point he's going to get tired, and eventually maybe his heart would give out or something along those lines. But one-on-one, I mean, it's not even a thing, you know, like one-on-one, the sheer strength of a gorilla is just scary. It's frightening.
It is frightening. Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to take some casualties up front. There's no question. Like, whoever's the first wave, like, they're dead. Sorry, if you got picked first, like, you don't want to be at the front of the line. You want to be at the back of the line.
Draw straws, then you're like, fuck.
Yeah, no, you don't. You definitely don't want to do that. But I agree with you. I don't even think it's a debate, to be honest with you. I think at 100 guys, at some point, this thing, and especially again, if you're all working in unison. Now, that was the whole thing too. Like, if it's one at a time, 100 people, like, I still think the thing gets tired after a while. The gorilla still gets tired, and eventually somebody, whether it be, you know, number 90 or 91 or 92, somebody finally comes in fresh, and the gorilla's just exhausted. But I think one-on-one, like, it probably goes through 100 guys maybe. But if you're working all together and you got 2 people on one arm and 2 people on another arm and 2 people on a leg and 2 people on the other leg, you know what I mean? Like, eventually you're going to be able to control this thing. So I agree with you. But
and who knows, what about the men? I mean, are we talking like buffed out dudes? Are we talking about some malnourished dudes? Are we just talking about your average Joes? There's differences of that too. You know, if you got a bunch of, like, you know, skinny little dudes, you know, they maybe don't even count for one dude, you know, going against the gorilla. He might just say, oh shit, I'm gonna throw 2 of you at once, you know. So yeah, there's definitely whatever. But
you bring
I don't
funny-
know where this debate came from. It just came out of nowhere, and it's literally was ever, and the fact that you even brought it up, I had no idea that you would even see it or would bring it up, But it, yeah, to think that everywhere. Here it is, even making a show, it made its resonance.
It's everywhere. It cracked me up. I don't think I've ever seen anybody universally debating one topic more often that has no realistic. But it is a fun discussion. But you look, the hippo thing that you bring up, like, you're 100% right. Like, those things, I mean, they're ridiculously, like, maneuverable in the water, right? Like, it's bizarre how as
enormous. And they're decently strong on the ground, too. Like, they move decently fast, but their skin is, like, super, super tough.
Yeah.
As well. And their bite, I think their jaw bite is like a shark or even stronger than a shark or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, granted, that's its only weapon. I mean, besides its sheer volume. And weight.
But
it doesn't have like the gorilla arm and legs, you know.
But you bring up the part that you said is that thing can sit in the water. And if we're not talking about weapons, we're talking about hand to hand combat. Like, people can't fight in water. You know what I mean? So like, if you go in the water, like, you could have 500 men, and I think, they all lose. You know what I mean? The hippo gets them all.
Yep. It's interesting, it's just funny because the grill. You almost wonder because you know that they brought the grill that you figure that other animals were going to now go into the fray. Somebody's going to start running with it or whatever. But who knows who originally started? But I mean, I think we have to give praise to the originator of the any number of comparison to the two girls, one cup, which it started. All the magnification things like this. One gorilla, 100 men, two girls, one cup. You gotta give praise to the starter of it all. You know, you want to talk about a viral subject. Nothing goes further than two girls versus one
cup.
Where
have we gone with this show? It's so not the direction I had intended at all. At all.
Now, two girls versus one cup in the water versus hippo.
UFC Iowa. The UFC is in Des Moines. In Des Moines this week. I can tell it's clear that we need to get back on the rails. The UFC is in Des Moines this week. Cool to see the UFC in Des Moines. By the way, I should say, tonight, I'm sure it'll probably be over by the time most people listen to this, but there is a very good PFL event. Actually, I think it should be a really fun PFL event. Some of the matchups on there are really intriguing, but I realize most people won't have a chance to see that, so we won't go into that. We will talk about the UFC. Had a chance to check out Media Day once again. We'll stop short of chastising everybody, but there was not a lot of media in the building, that's for sure. So kind of some short sessions. So kudos once again to everybody that was handling business. I guess the Full Send guys are kind of like the people now that go to everything, right? That was OG Shawnee Mac or whatever. He's at like
Sean's
everything.
Going to, they're going to a bunch of different ones, but it's weird because like he's not. I don't ever see him at the Apex anymore, but I'll see like his camera guy here. So yeah, I guess he's just doing some of the different other remote ones or something. But can know when they're going to be on there.
That's a good point. You're right. He never goes to the Apex. Well, doesn't he go do?
They used to always go in the back. They'd always have something in the back, some private thing. But I'm not sure if that their arrangement, their partner status, or whatever changed on the Apex ones, or maybe he just. Maybe if, I couldn't remember if he lived here, if he was just always traveling here. I mean, it gets expensive to keep coming here all the time, so maybe they were just picking and choosing. But yeah, it's interesting for some of these ones. Yeah, I always hear them, on the road for some of these things. But maybe that's their thing. They realize that maybe there's going to be less media at those, and so they're like, let's go to those. So it's a smart play.
Listen, that's what have we talked about in the past? Like some of these smaller fight night shows or whatever that people aren't going to. That's a great opportunity to break into the business, and not that they're trying to break into the business, but it's a great opportunity to capitalize if you know that the MMA junkies aren't going to be there, the MMA fightings aren't going to be there, that you have a chance to get traction and to gain shows. Whereas if you go to the big pay-per-view events, I mean, there's tons of media there. Everybody's there. Everybody's getting it. So anyway, just another observation, not a big media contingent, but still got some interesting interviews. Obviously, the main event, Corey Sandhagen versus Davison Figueroa. A little bit surprised, to be honest, at seeing the odds of this. Corey Sandhagen is a massive, massive favorite in this. I would probably consider him the favorite, and I would make him as my pick, but you know, seeing him as high as like minus 500 and beyond, I mean, that seems a bit much to me. I don't know if some of it is fueled by the the photos that were circulating at Davison Figueroa that seemed to show him being awfully heavy close to fight week. He did clarify that, you know, those weren't necessarily recent pictures. That wasn't necessarily him right now. I don't know weird how all that played out, but he seemed to look okay, at least when he stepped there in front of the media. So if he started out heavy, it looks like he's cutting. Hopefully that's not going to be an issue. But the one thing that I found interesting about this fight the whole time is that it's kind of a weird one, right? Because it doesn't necessarily propel either man forward in the division because they're behind guys that they recently lost to in Petr Yan and Umar Nurmagomedov. So there's really, I wouldn't say, not a ton to gain for either guy here, but there is a lot to lose for either guy here because that bantamweight division is so stacked. You do have contenders already lining in front of you. And if you slide back down the scale a little bit with a loss, you know, that can be a long build back up, especially, you know, Devinson's a little longer in the tooth. He's towards the end of his career. So I feel like it's an intriguing fight. I feel like it should be an interesting fight. I feel like it's an important fight. But it just feels like one to me that there's not a lot of reward for either guy, more so than there is a potential penalty of screwing your standings if you come up short here.
Yeah, but you almost feel, though, it's like one of those fights that we think more that should kind of happen to more people to kind of like it's like a hold your ground fight, you know.
Yes.
If you lose, obviously you're going to lose your spot. But in the same sense, you know, at some point they're challenged to say, all right, guys, well, you know, if you're going to be this close, you know, you got to fight these fights to kind of maintain that. And I think we've seen other guys that have been idle, kind of sitting in the upper ranks a lot of times, you know, and you're like, you know, when are they going to fight to kind of hold on to these things? Here's one where both these guys are fighting to kind of show that they're still at the top of the game, you know, and that they're still, you know, aspiring. Do I think either one of them is going to hold the title in the future? No. But there's certainly guys that are qualified to be in that position, and you know, with good reason. I mean, those guys have, you know, fought the guys that have been in the, you know, in the top position in the championships. I just don't, I mean, I think for them, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe one of them can get it again at some day, but I don't think so. But I think they're still high level. I think they're still big enough names to warrant being a main event. But I also think that they are also, you know what you're going to get. Like, if you need two guys that are going to go in there and battle for a main event that you know are not going to give you a stinker,
yeah,
these are two names that are going to go out there and you know exactly what you're going to get. So I think with them proving and, you know, kind of showing what they've done in the past, that the UFC trusts that they're going to give them a good show. But again, yeah, I mean, like, to your point, if you do lose, maybe you're not that guy anymore. You know, and this fight is a chance to remind everybody who you are, why you're the guy that a lot of these guys call out and feel is a tough challenge. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I did lean Sandhagen on this one.
Yeah, I think that's
the think everybody, you know, was seeing, you know, Figueiredo come over. They were, you know, he looked really good. And everybody's like, okay, he's on his way. He's the guy that's on that trajectory. And then you start running into some cats that are like, not so fast, you know. But I think it's a good fight. I mean, it's a good fight that I know we're gonna see action. We're gonna see, you know, good techniques. I'm not playing too much in the picks thing. I mean, look at what Paddy does to himself.
Yeah.
Outside of fight week, he looks absolutely horrible. You look like a guy, not horrible. He looks happy, like he says. He's like, I don't want abs when I'm not fighting. He wants to be happy and enjoy his food, and good on him. But when it comes time, every time he's been able to get the weight down and look fantastic in the fight. So, I mean, who are we to keep crapping on him? I mean, I will say that will wear you down eventually. We've seen guys and what they did to their bodies. We've talked about it over the years. Anthony Johnson as one of the biggest ones that we saw that used to just destroy his body and weight change. And you would just see the changes in his face. His eyes would be so jaundiced out, just making himself sick. And like, nobody wants to see that sort of stuff when you're doing those crazy drastic weight cuts. But, you know, you see it happen. So I don't lean too much in the fact of where I certainly don't think that he's just like slacking off and he's just like, oh, I'm not training. I'm just going to get fat. I'm just going to get whatever. Who knows, man? I've taken pictures in one set of lighting and you can easily look 20 pounds heavier, and then you take another picture and you could look 20 pounds less. I mean, it just, pictures are pictures. I mean, who knows? But I know what we've seen from Davison Figueiredo in the past, and I expect him to look fantastic when it comes time to get on the scale. Well, he might look a little bit depleted, but half of the fighters up there look depleted on weigh-in day. I mean, like, nobody is going out there and looking 100% and fantastic on weigh-in day because none of the fighters are fighting at the weight classes they should be fighting at.
I know. I'm with you. I lean Corey Sandhagen here as well. It's just the odds surprised me a little bit. I do agree with you. It's funny when you said that, you know, I don't think that these guys are going to be champions. And with Deiveson Figueroa, I kind of agree. Like, his time is at the very top has passed. I mean, obviously he ascended to that title and great fighter and well-rounded. But he is older, and we know, you know, at the lighter weight classes especially, that's more challenging. I think he's 37, 38 now. Sandhagen, only 33, I believe. To me, seems like – so at first when you said that, I'm like, yeah, but hold on, man. He's still got time on his side. But, man, between the matchups of Merab Dvalishvili and Umar Nurmagomedov, those are just always going to be nightmare matchups for him. You know what I mean? And those guys don't look like they're going – I mean, Umar especially is super young, so – those two guys are going to be there, either both of them or one of them, as long as Corey's trying to go for the top. So,
yeah,
you might be right.
And it's not like you see them; they're not, and it's not like they're on a decline.
No,
this is not like long term veterans. These are still guys that are still getting better. You know, like, and they're still improving. Like, they're legit, like, just aging into the position. I mean, like, some guys. I mean, Corey had that trajectory for a while where he was going and he looked like he was the man and that he had that potential.
Yep.
And then you had some of these other cats came into the division, and that's the thing. I mean, like, you're the man until you're not the man. And there's no offense to Corey, just some guys came in there that are absolute studs and that are only getting better and better. You know, like, it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, Merab's, you know, man, all these years he's been doing it, you know, and he's just barely been hanging on to it, you know, and maybe it's his time to drop it, you know. Dude is fighting better than ever, and I feel like he's getting better, you know. Like, he constantly, there's been fights in the past where I counted him out. I was like, oh, yeah, Molly, he's going to be the one. He's going to put him in his place. It's like, well, no, he certainly didn't. And oh, this guy's going to do it. Oh, no, he didn't do it either, you know. It's just like... And he's just getting better and better, you know. And then, you know, like you said, the other guys that are coming up behind him, you know, there's just some other ones. Corey is a top-level dude in that division. I'm not trying to say that he's not top-level. He's just – there's just guys at the top that I just don't think that he could beat, you know.
It's just
like
you said,
bad matchups and other stuff. He'll look good in those fights, and he'll have his moments. But, you know, it's a collection of moments, and it's who overall dominates in those fights. And I just feel that with their fight styles, they just have a way of taking over fights. And it's just hard to kind of get back up from it. But Corey will beat a lot of people in the division and a lot of fighters, upcoming fighters. He still has a lot of people that he's going to beat. I just, you know, I think this fight that we're seeing right here is to show that you're still, I don't want to say gatekeeper because they're above gatekeeper.
Right,
but you're still positioning yourself to be one of those top guys in the division that everybody on their way to the top is going to have to go through.
Yeah, and, well, that's the thing we talk about.
You're just guaranteeing yourself another fight. You're guaranteeing if you get in there and you show yourself that at the top, you know you're going to get a call for the next upcoming star that thinks he's the hot item. The UFC is going to be like, okay, well, I got somebody for you, Mr. Hot Guy, coming up. How about this guy?
Yep.
How about this guy? You know.
Well, people, you know, a lot of people use that term gatekeeper as a negative connotation. We've always said it's not a negative connotation. It really just literally means there's a level, and in order to prove that you deserve to get past that level or past that gate, you've got to beat this guy. And unfortunately, I think that may be the position that Corey is going to find himself in for a while. You know, and again, he's a phenomenal fighter, and he's fun to watch, and he's interesting to hear talk. I mean, he's got a unique personality about himself. Yeah, so it's so, you know, there's nothing wrong. He's got a bright career ahead of him. So, I lean Corey Sandhagen here in this fight, we'll definitely see how it plays out. Unfortunately, he'll probably have another fight. In fact, he even said, and I love the fact that he even kind of said, like, you know, I'd like to fight for a title next, but, you know, he's smart. He's like, it's just going to have to work out for timing. Like, you're going to have dudes that are hurt or people aren't available, or geographically it makes sense because they want to do a title fight in Denver, or, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not out of the
but
realm of possibility. Yeah,
and he's being
smart.
Realistic.
Yep.
That's what we say about why he's a very, very smart guy, and he understands the game. And to hear it come straight from him, he knows how to play the game, and he's exactly right. All it takes is somebody getting injured, the number one guy getting injured, and all of a sudden there's an interim title belt out there.
Yep.
And if you have a good fight over a big name, like a guy like Deiveson Figueroa, you're certainly positioning yourself to be right there in the mix. So, yes, with all the right things happening, then maybe there is the possibility of something happening. But yeah.
Not in control of his own destiny. Yeah, exactly. Not in control of his own destiny, right? Like he's calling the shots. But I love the fact that he's realistic about it. So it should be a fun main event. Yep. The co-main event I'm super intrigued by, man, since the moment they announced it. Rainer DeRitter versus Bo Nickel. Rainer DeRitter comes in ranked number 13. Bo Nickel had flirted with the rankings a little bit. He was 15 for like a week, I think, and then he got switched the week after that. So he just touched the rankings, but he obviously has had all this attention around him, all this name value. I love the fact that they put this in Iowa. I mean, you're taking the former Penn State standout. You know, Iowa, I mean, I always knew that Iowa was about wrestling, but obviously through my work with CFSC Match Day and getting to go to Iowa and getting to work with the Iowa programs, like – wrestling in Iowa is like football is in Texas where I grew up with, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's religion. Like, it's their sport. You know what I mean? So to have Bo Nickel there, even though he's not an Iowa guy, I think, you know, his reputation will resonate very well with the audience. They're well aware of who he is. So I don't think there's a better place to have this fight. So I'm really, really intrigued by that. I did see RDR showed up at the media day with an Iowa wrestling shirt on, which I thought was brilliant. Just a subtle little detail there to throw on that Iowa wrestling t-shirt.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at it. I didn't even pay attention.
Oh, I love that. That was like, hey, I'm going to play too. So I love it. Bo, if anybody didn't get a chance, Bo said, listen, I did get a chance to add to my frame a little bit in this camp. I feel like I'm stronger. He said he also did get to go down to Austin and work with all those studs down there and his grappling and kind of up his jiu-jitsu game. I will say that I don't think Rainer DeRitter is as passive about getting the takedown as like Paul Craig may have been. I don't know that Bo Nickel's going to be able to just keep this on the feet the whole time. I really hope it doesn't. I mean, I think everybody last time wanted to see Bo Nickel grapple against a grappler. I think everybody wants to see it as well, I would imagine. So I'm just super intrigued by this fight. I'm surprised by the line here as well. Bo Nickel is a big, big favorite in this. I guess I understand he's had all this hype and RDR. Most people haven't seen much of his career, and what they've seen in the UFC hasn't been necessarily 100% spectacular. He's been victorious, but maybe it wasn't the prettiest along the way. I don't know, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of torn on this one. I think if you're putting money down, I kind of like the idea of RDR at very significant plus odds. If you're just making picks for, you know, say like a staff pick selection, I don't know that Nickel is the wrong pick as the favorite, but I don't know, man. I'm torn on this one, to be honest. What about you? You got a good feel on it either way?
Well, I did end up leaning just a shortcut. I did go Nickel in my bow and my staff pick. But yeah, I mean, when you look on paper and you think about the MMA experience, you know, you got to lean RDR's way. You know, just the guys that he's fought. I mean, he's got more experience. But man, Nickel has gone in there, and we're just seeing him fight more and more of these guys that have had high-level MMA experience, and his wrestling and even just some of his hands. I mean, like, we thought we were going to see this crazy match between, like, him and Paul Craig, and didn't play out to the fight that we thought it was going to be, you know. And I just feel in this one, and maybe it was to the fact of he wants to, you know, maybe it's because it's going to be in Iowa. I feel like we're going to see that wrestling that we've been – knowing that he has, and that recently he's kind of stepped away from it. He uses the wrestling for his positioning and when he's able to throw his strikes and when he wants to do ground and pound and other stuff. But we know that he also is finding love with his hands. I don't know if this is particularly the fight where you want to stand and bang the whole fight against a guy that, you know, has won belts in other, you know, organizations on his striking. But if you want to be a Penn State wrestler going into Iowa and want to show what Penn State wrestling is all about in a big stage against a guy that was just wearing an Iowa shirt, I think this is going to be the one where I think we're maybe going to see that wrestling show itself. And maybe he's not the kind to grandstand even just to do whatever. But I would say if there was ever a moment where if you find yourself in a dominant position and you could do the mirab and just look up at the crowd and just see this would be that moment. And this would be where Bo wants to highlight Penn State wrestling. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wears something Penn State even when he goes out. It'd be funny if they let him fight late in a singlet or something. But I mean, like, I feel like his wrestling is going to show stuff, because I think he could get it onto the ground. If he gets it onto the ground, RDR is no slouch on the ground, and he's been great off his back, and he's great when he's able to get on the top position himself. But I did lean nickel, and a lot of it I just I don't know. It was just a gut thing, and maybe it was just because it was the Iowa thing, and maybe I just feel like we feel like he's been winning recently without even having to really lean in that wrestling, and he's so strong on his wrestling. I just feel at some point his wrestling's going to make a bigger show again, and everything else, and this could be that fight. So I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong, but I did lean nickel in this one. I think I wouldn't say it's going to be a dominant, but any big wrestler like this that we see that has such high level wrestling, there's no halfway of dominating. When their wrestling's on and they're really employing it, it just looks dominating because they're in control of every bit of the game. It's just be a matter of if he's able to dominate as a wrestler and then be able to make it still an MMA match and not just keep it as a wrestling match. So when he's dominant, let's see some hands, man. Let's drop some bombs, drop some elbows, do all those things you can't do in wrestling. And, start showing, I think people recognize, the opponents recognize that he was a great wrestler, but they haven't seen him dominate and hurt people with his wrestling. They haven't seen the crazy ground and pound that I think this kid is, he's capable of doing with that wrestling background. So I think once he gets that and he starts showcasing that, then you're going to start hearing people say like, man, don't let this guy get you down on the ground. I just don't think people are saying that yet, but he needs to start doing that. Maybe this will be that one. Maybe this will be that one.
It's a unique opportunity, and you're right. Because, look, he's definitely a better, athlete than Rainier de Ritter. And I don't mean that as any, disrespect to Rainier. I mean, Rainier, I think, is – and I think you framed it perfectly. If in terms of mixed martial arts experience, RDR is the guy. There's no question about it. He's had much, much more high-level experience. But just as in pure athleticism, if they were having a track and field contest or something like that, Bo Nickel's going to smoke him, I think. You know what I mean? He's faster, he's quicker, all those things.
I don't even know if we've ever seen him breathe heavy in there yet.
I know, right? It's so bizarre, man.
It's ridiculous.
But you want to see him punish people, and if he can do that, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Like I said, if it's another one of those fights where he's because it's a weird thing, with Paul Craig, it makes sense not to go to the ground with Paul Craig. It really does make sense to not do that because we've seen the type of submission skills that he has and how quickly he can change things. So I get it, but it's not the fight that everybody wanted to see. And obviously, Bo is under no responsibility to give the fans the fight that they want to see, right? I mean,
he's trying to win.
He's trying to win.
Trying to get his other part of his paycheck.
That's it. And so I get it. So that's why I'm intrigued by this because I would say the same thing here. I mean, honestly, it's a weird discussion to have because if you're really game planning, I mean, anybody game planning for RDR is just going to say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick and move. We're going to strike from distance. Don't throw any naked kicks so that he can grab the leg. Let's not take him down to the ground. That would be the smart game plan for anybody, not just Bo Nickel, because Rainier de Ritter has really, really good grappling. But nobody wants to see that fight here. And I think Bo heard it a lot after the Paul Craig. Now, so far, he seemed to show that he's kind of got thick skin and he's kind of bulletproof to not really care what anybody has to say about him. And again, I'll say it again.
Yep.
He's under no responsibility to fight any style that we think he should. So he's well within his rights to just say, well, you're not the one in here getting these bolos swung at your head. I'm trying to get my paycheck. So I'm really intrigued by this one. I think it could either be a really, really fun, really, really interesting fight, or it could be another little snoozer perhaps and people come out griping about Bo Nickel. So I'm very, very excited to see what plays out. But again, I said it from the moment this fight was announced, this has to take place in Iowa, and I'm glad that it did take place in Iowa because I love the idea of the wrestling standout Bo Nickel being in the wrestling crazy state of Iowa for this. So a couple other good fights on the main card. Santiago Ponzinibbio, Daniel Rodriguez should be an absolute banger there. Montel Jackson, Daniel Marcos should be fun as well. Cameron Smotherman versus Sergey Sigeti. All these are some really, really fun fights in there. But how do you not get excited for Jeremy Stephens versus Mason Jones? And Jeremy Stephens sat down and told the story about how he got back into the UFC. And I love the fact, number one, that he really, really gave praise to his wife.
To his wife?
Yeah. For
he got
not,
bonus points for that one. That was a great speech. I was like, oh, boy, he's going to get buttered up when he gets home.
Well, you have to.
Good for him.
You have to. You know what I mean? Listen, as anybody that's in a marriage knows, when you're chasing after something, it is definitely a partnership. But I love the fact that he said, listen, number one, not only did she help with the message that he ultimately sent to Dana White. And you know, she probably made it a lot nicer than Jeremy would say it. But, you know, not only did she help write the message, but she was the one that really encouraged him to say, listen, you know, they're coming back to Iowa. Yeah. Why don't you reach out to Dana? And Jeremy said, look, I kind of thought, they're not looking for me. You know, I've had my go. You know, I've done everything I can do with the UFC. I'm kind of doing this BKFC thing now. What did he say? Popping bras and breaking jaws or whatever. I mean, it's just...
popping bras, snapping bras.
Yeah, something like that. Snap was it. Snapping bras and breaking jaws. I'm just fine. I love Jeremy Stephens. He is old school. But, you know, she said, no, why don't you do it? And he reached out, and they made it happen. They're not giving him a gimme in Mason Jones. Mason Jones is a guy that I was a little bit surprised was released from the UFC when he was. I know he had some setbacks, but I feel like he's really talented. He went back to Cage Warriors, got some wins. He's back. He looks different. He looked leaner to me, and I think he even mentioned it. Like, hey, like he's really had a chance to, you know, to kind of work on his conditioning and his, you know, strength work and that sort of thing. It feels like he's in a better spot. And I love Mason Jones' attitude too. I thought that quote was so good. He's like, Jeremy Stephens is like a mountain. He's like, it's tough. It's not easy, but it can be climbed. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I know I can beat Jeremy Stephens. I'm not going out there and undervaluing him and saying he's an old guy or his better days are behind him. Like, I know this is going to be a challenge, but I can beat him. Mason Jones, again, a massive, massive favorite according to the odds makers. This is one, too, that, like, if you're making a pick, if it's a gun to the head scenario, if it's a staff pick scenario, I think the right pick is Mason Jones, to be honest with you. But if you got Jeremy Stephens, the dude that packs all that dynamite in there, that, you know, when he knocks you out, you stay down, right? You know what I mean? When you get that in, I mean, the emotion that you could tell he has, how special this is going to be. It's not just going to be a fight. This is a fight in his hometown. This is his home crowd. This is him back in the UFC. And you could get that at more than 4-1 for your money. I mean, you throw a couple bucks down on the underdog, right? I mean, you're over at CloudBet. You say 100%. You say you go with it, right? Hey, CloudBet right now, they're doing that free sign-up. You can get a no-loss bet right away, right? This is the kind of no-loss bet you take, right? Like, I can throw down some money. I get 4-1 on me. I mean, that's what you – I mean, there's a chance, right? There's a chance he lands clean.
There is certainly a chance. And, I mean, anybody that can live in the BKFC bare-knuckled world and he still can talk on a microphone and he can still, you know, handle himself, the guy is obviously tough as nails.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's legit, man. His energy was amazing on media day. Like, you definitely saw, you know, somebody that was just grateful to be back into it, you know, and it was just really, really cool. But yeah, man, you can't ever count out. Just like you couldn't count out the fact that people thought he was done with the UFC. Well, look at him right now. Where is he at right now? You can't count the dude out, man. So you never know, man. And some people, we've seen them. I mean, when they fight in front of their family, they fight in front of their friends, they fight in front of their hometown, it's just a different beast. He probably thinks he's the gorilla ready to take on 100 dudes, man. He ain't gonna lose when he goes in there. But yeah, if you can get underdog money and let alone something like a free bet back from old CloudBet, you know, why not? You know, but yeah, anything's possible. And I think where it's at in the staff picks, it didn't matter. But I think I picked him in like that part of our staff picks. I think I was just like, dude, I think you'd have to drag him out of there. You're going to have to put him out to make him stop fighting in that fight. He's going to fight harder than anything because I think that's what he has to do when he goes into the bare knuckle. There's no half doing anything in a bare knuckle fight. Like, the dude is in absolute savage mode. He's been in savage mode now for a little bit. I wouldn't want to be opposite of the cage versus that dude.
I agree, man.
I definitely think he has a great chance to get in there and win it. Yep.
I tell you what, I'd love to see it too. I really would, man. I would love to see it for Jeremy Stephens. He is just, I mean, he's one of those guys that, I don't know, man. It's like that old school version of a fighter, like what you thought. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you think of somebody that fights in a cage for a living, you know, it's like we spent, me personally, especially in the early days, you know, when people were trying to outlaw mixed martial arts and stuff, and they're like, I can't believe you watch that stuff. And you'd always be like, you know, you'd always be like, no, man, like, man, you know, like the champion, like Rich Franklin, like he was a math teacher in elementary school. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Chuck Liddell has a degree in accounting. You know what I mean? Like these are educated guys, and like, you know, it's a sport. You know, you're saying, and then you just no. Then there's Jeremy Stevens. Like, bro, like Jeremy Stevens is the dude that they were saying, I can't believe you watch this stuff. Yeah. Like, no, this dude will kill you. Like, he will kill you in there if he's given the opportunity. Like, if the ref doesn't pull you off, he will keep punch. I mean, he's just – but I like that. He's a special kind of savage, yeah. And not everybody can have that savagery in him. He's got that special kind of – and, yeah, he's taken his licks, and he's had his losses. And, you know, is he a guy – you know, much like, you know, it's different, of course, but I'll say much like Anthony Smith. You know, to me, is Anthony Smith a Hall of Famer? No, Anthony Smith is not a Hall of Famer. Do I have all the respect in the world for him and like the guy? I do. Jeremy Stevens, to me, is not a UFC Hall of Famer, but he's still somebody that I want to tune in and watch fight, and that has a hell of a track record of highlights, and that the fact that he's getting this homecoming, and that it's not only a homecoming, but that it's, you know, coming back to the UFC after being outside the organization. Yep. It's just a cool story, man.
Yep, and that's it. I mean, some active fighters don't even get the chance to step up and fight in a place that's where they're from. It doesn't happen. But, yeah, to get an invite back to the organization for that, just for that particular thing, and they know that they're going to get from you, I mean, like, that shows all the respect in the world, you know? Like,
yep.
I mean, the UFC can't keep everybody on the roster forever. At some point, guys get let go. But if they see that you're still active and you're still good enough fighter and they know what you're going to get and they decide to bring you back after you've been gone for a while, like, that speaks volumes of what they think about this dude. And, I mean, I think anybody that's a diehard fan or anybody that's watching this sport for any amount of years, you know, more than a couple years, understands that this dude he's a savage. I mean, you know, there's only one kind of a fight with a Jeremy Stevens, and that's going to be a bloody banger, man.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm glad to see him back, man. I've never had a problem with him. Over the years, I know some people, you know, either like, oh, I just don't know about his attitude or whatever. But like you said, man, he's a savage, man. And he's always been great. And I loved seeing the emotion and just hearing him chat on Media Day. So, yeah, I mean, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to get there. I want him to have that sort of just picture book story. I mean, even if it's a one-off, just to be able to get that invite back and have a great fight in front of your family and then go back to doing whatever you're doing, that's amazing. That's the stuff that he'd be talking about forever, you know? I mean, like, it's just incredible. It's incredible. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
And it's funny, too, because, again, I feel like Mason Jones is a guy that didn't get a fair shake first time around, and I think he has a future with the promotion. I'm glad he's back. So it's not like I'm sitting here cheering against that guy, but, yeah, I'd kind of like for Jeremy Stevens to have that storybook, you know, night in Iowa would be pretty amazing to see. So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah, this is definitely nothing anti-Mason Jones. It's just, you know, Jeremy Stevens, man. It's funny. We were on a call with the Des Moines, I don't know what the name of the paper is.
Des Moines Register, I believe. It's the Des Moines Register. Yep.
I thought that, and I was like, you're just making that up in your head, so I didn't say it. But, yeah, the Des Moines Register. So they had we had a reporter that went there to Media Day, and they were doing some coverage of it as well. And we were talking about the different other stuff, and we started talking about Jeremy Stevens, and literally we had to bring up the point because they didn't know. But it was just like, you know, you ever hear that or see that meme where, you know, it's Conor McGregor, and he's like, who the fuck? You know, like, they were talking about Jeremy Stevens. I was like, this is Jeremy. And they were like, oh. And so it was interesting just watching it all come together in their brains, you know. And I was just like, Jeremy, he's been around. You know what you're going to get fight-wise. But even just outside of fight, you know, the dude, he's a living meme, man. Like, it's just that's funny.
So, I feel bad that that's how you had to make sure. That's how they had to know who he was. Like, you couldn't bring up, like, any of his wins or any of his, you know, big highlights. Like, no, remember that one time when Conor clowned him? Like, oh.
Conor clowned him? Yeah, well, you had to bring up the thing that we knew that they would know.
That's true. That is true. That is... And it was so bad because I like Jeremy Stevens a lot, but like that was when Conor was at his peak and like the quick wit and the, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's just like it was so sharp. It wasn't just the over the top, like it was just like, I mean, That yeah. is like one of the most iconic press conference moments in UFC history.
Next to Red Panty Night, that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Red Panty Night's the only other one of the only other ones that you can think of that. I mean, there's been other ones, but Red Panty Night was huge, and everybody started borrowing that. But everybody yep. started borrowing Who the Fook, you know, yep. like. Yeah, it was big. That was a big one. That was a big one. But yeah, it was all around the same time frame.
Oh, that's funny, man. All right, listen, prelims got some intriguing matchups there. Yana Santos and Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate is back. She's actually a slight favorite in this matchup, which I just have a hard time.
I like it.
I do too. I think she is the slight favorite. I don't know. Sometimes I just kind of wonder at this point in her career, like where her head's at and how much of her life. I know she's busy as being a mom and other businesses and stuff like that. So we shall see. We shall see. Ryan Loader is here. I was surprised to see him as such a big dog, to be honest with you. But Azmat is very, very tough. Marina Rodriguez, Jillian Robertson. Clash of styles here. Obviously, I think you and I have made it clear we're very Jillian Robertson homers, to say the least. She's always just so hilarious in interviews. Dean Thomas, of course, has been working with her. So, she's amazing and a
That's
big
a
favorite
fight.
Here.
It's a tough fight.
If she get, you know, this is to me, it's one of those fights. Like it's about as old school as it gets in terms. I know everybody's working on everything and everybody's a well-rounded fighter. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
But Marina Rodriguez, if this fight stays on the feet, Jillian Robertson's in trouble. And if it goes to the ground, Marina Rodriguez is in trouble. I mean, that's just that simple.
Striker versus grappler.
Yeah,
you got it.
Straight up striker versus grappler. Gaston Bolanos versus Quang Lee could be a lot of fun. Thomas Peterson versus Dontayle Mays in a big heavyweight matchup. And Juliana Miller is back versus Ivana Petrovic. Petrovic is actually the big favorite there against the Croatian against Juliana Miller. But did you see the social media post where Juliana Miller was wearing like the Jason hockey mask or whatever while she was signing posters and stuff? Yeah, because you know she's Juliana Killer Miller, and obviously she's always she's a character to say the least. But yeah, that'd
she's be, a character.
I don't know if she was wearing it the whole time, but at least UFC social took a picture of her. And she's wearing this like the Jason mask, like signing the posters and stuff. I was like, wow, she's a character.
That's cool.
Yeah, she is a character. I love it. So we'll see. It's been a while since she's been there, so we'll see how things pan out. A little bit later card, right? It's a 4 p.m. Pacific start in the prelims, 7 p.m. Pacific for the main cards. That's a 10 p.m. start out there on the East Coast. Sorry for all you East Coast heads out there. A little bit later in the day, so you get your Saturday afternoon to hang around, and then then tune in at night for what should be like last week's card. I think it's going to be a fun card. I think it's going to be entertaining. Like I said, I don't know that we're booking any title fights after this or that, you know, we're doing anything like that, but I think it's going to be another fun night, just like I thought last Saturday night was good as well. So it's looking like a fun little way to spend your Saturday evening.
I agree. Fights start early. We got let's see what's going on. A Glory Underground kickboxing is about to be kicking off. We're actually going to be hosting some of that. So by the time you guys listen to this, it probably already. But we're going to be streaming that. They actually reached out to Junkie. And they're like, hey, can you stream that? So I'm glad while we're taping this, I had to look
Very
over.
Nice.
I was like, oh, shit. I was going to make sure I didn't forget to hit that start. I still got an hour or so before I have to kick that onto the website. I was like, that would have been really crappy if I forgot to start that. I love it, man. So, there's fights this, and there's fights tomorrow, and then there's fights on Saturday. I love this.
I do, too. Tomorrow's fun, too.
Oh, and then there's boxing on Sunday as well.
That's it.
There you go.
You got a little bit of everything. And tomorrow, we should point out, because of our friends over at CloudBet, that you do have Karate Combat, like, first thing in the morning, 9 a.m. here in Las Vegas, which is awesome. So, if you're international, you can stream it everywhere, but you can stream it right on CloudBet, actually, and place a couple wagers right there while you're watching it. Obviously, an official partner there. So that gets the day started. And as you said, there's fights throughout the afternoon. There's a couple of events over on Fight Pass. I believe Shooto Brazil and Uriah Faber's A1 Combat both have events on Fight Pass as well. And then, as you said, Saturday, the UFC. So it's a busy, busy weekend. We wouldn't have it any other way. Plenty of stuff to watch. Of course, we'll get together on Monday to recap it all for everybody over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow for a little and a half episodes. We appreciate everybody that joins us for those and supports us over at patreon.com. And, we enjoy doing those. I think it's a little bit more energy. I like having you on there. I know we do them on Mondays now instead of Saturday nights when I still, but it's a little higher energy. I like having you in the building to bounce some things off a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm glad we're able to do those.
Any other big plans? I got a chill weekend before next weekend. My family's coming in town for my kid's birthday, so next weekend's going to be crazy. So this is just kind of peaceful for me. How about you? Anything busy going on?
Yeah, no, just watching fights. Just watching fights. I'm actually going to go over to the unless something changes, I should be there Sunday on up over at the Green Garden Arena for the boxing. But besides that, I'll be watching fights here, hanging out at the house, get some steps in, go outside a little bit. But no, I'm chilling. I like this work it from home stuff.
Telling you. I really do.
Apex, take your time. We'll get back to you. I see you down there. Keep doing your renovations. I'll see you in a couple weeks or so.
I'm anxious to see where they stand. That structure, man, we'll be able to report on it, obviously, later in the month. I think we got two Apex events.
Two events.
Yeah. We'll be able to report on it. But, I mean, when I drive by on 215, that structure's like, it's expanding quite a bit, man. It's coming along.
Yeah, it's coming along. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see when they finally start tackling the stuff on the inside. But yeah, just looking at the outside facade, man, it's pretty interesting. It's neat. It looks completely different than what it did. But yeah, it's interesting watching it kind of go up and do its thing. But yeah, interested to see. Hmm. But yeah, I'm enjoying the time working from home. Watching these events, I do like it. But yeah, I'll be ready to go once the Apex goes. It's just, you know how it is, man. Once you don't do an event for like a couple weeks, you feel like a little rusty. And then when you show up on fight week, you're like, what do I do? What
do I set remember up? How to do
what
this?
Do I have to plug in? You know.
Oh man, I do. I know exactly, dude. It was
even
funny,
though I've
man.
Done it a million times. Usually, I just trust that autopilot's gonna go on, and it usually does. I just start plugging things in without even thinking about. But then sometimes you're like, wait, what am I forgetting? Like,
the last CFFC event down in Tampa, we streamed the weigh-ins on OnlyFans and also recorded it for YouTube. And recording's a big deal because obviously you're just filming. And then, like, I still edit enough because I edit, like, interviews. And, obviously I don't do big, heavy editing, but I do a little bit here and there. But I hadn't streamed in so long. Like, I had my stream kit, and, like, I was, like, pulling up OBS and trying to remember, like, what does this work? Like, I mean, dude, you talk about rusty. Like, you know how long it's been since I'd done a live stream of something? Like, I actually had to bring it, probably. Oh, yeah. I had, literally one of our guys, Seth, who's an intern with us, I had to ask him, like, bro, do you use OBS? Because I know you stream some stuff. He's like, yeah. I'm like, can you come do this with me? Because I don't remember it all. Like, it's been so long since I streamed something. I don't remember anything. So, luckily, it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. So, anyway. All right, yeah, listen. Go out there, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. Like I said, tons of combat sports action. It starts as early as tonight if you get a chance to listen to this when we recorded it. Otherwise, there's stuff all weekend long. And enjoy that last little bit of spring before the summer heat comes. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to everybody with the and a half on Monday. Thanks for listening.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.